This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. India, the Republic of India, a vast and important part of the future of manufacturing, of trade, of Asia. However, the question raised now, is India in a position to absorb the supply chain that no longer is trustworthy in China? Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very, very keen on the response by Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who's been our guide on the subcontinent for some time, especially the ability of the India government to shed its old ways from the 20th century when it was dominated by socialist, even Marxist thinking. Cleo, a very good day to you. The headline in Business Insider is promising but not conclusive. India is trying to become the new factory of the world, but it could take more than a global pandemic to unseat China from its 40-year reign. I have read mixed approaches to this same story. Your measure, Cleo, is India changing its ways, the bureaucracy? Is it acknowledging that it must change its ways? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, well, it has. I mean, since Prime Minister Modi came in, quite a few changes have been made at the federal level, but also it's worth remembering that India is very much federated functionally. So some states have always been much more business friendly than others, and very dynamic and growing. But the idea of getting rid of thousands and thousands of regulations, which this government has done, has been a desire for a long time. And it's worth remembering that this model actually is functionally still the colonial model in many ways. When Nehru came in after Indian independence in 1947, they kept a lot of those British colonial laws because they're just convenient if you're a centralized, semi-autocratic regime that wants control over your population. So not only do they have to get rid of this kind of mid-last century socialist type approach, but they're still weeding out the colonial legal and regulatory legacy, which is openly discussed and is known to be a real restraint on development. It's also why, for example, you'll find foreigners who don't want India to be a competitor funding NGOs to try to increase regulations around a whole bunch of different things. So it's very open discussion about the brakes that have been put on what should be phenomenal growth based on the natural elements of the Indian economy, a young dynamic population, large education component to it, large English-speaking component to it. That there's just been this artificial restraint put on it at the government level, but also from those who don't want to see a new competitor come onto the field.
Gordon, just a question for context. More than a decade ago, when we started talking about China being an untrustworthy partner for trade, there was resistance to the whole concept. Has that changed profoundly? Do the American and European manufacturers understand that the supply chain in China is not the future?
Of course, John. And what we're seeing is a migration of business out of China. Not all of it's going to India. Some of it's going to, for instance, Vietnam. Apple moved part of its iPad production from China to Vietnam. But there's many factors for this. Part of it is geopolitical tension. Second of all, problems in China itself, especially the zero COVID rules, which now have been lifted. But there is a realization that there's been too much dependence on one country, China, and that's forcing companies to become more resilient, to build what they call supply webs rather than supply chains of multiple suppliers.
You have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, Prime Minister Modi comes from an Indian state, Gujarat. Gujarat was fairly pro-business while Modi was in charge of it. My sense is, as you pointed out, that there are variations in India, and some of those variations are quite stark, that some places are doing well, and some places that have held to the old socialist model are still not receiving foreign investment. What's the state of play with regard to the variations in India?
So the Gujarat model was one of the things that got Prime Minister Modi elected the first time around. People in other states wanted to have the business-friendly, basically transparency system that he had developed in Gujarat. People just want, like everywhere else, to be able to get on with their lives and to have a level playing field. But I'd just like to so that is developing in different states in different ways. But I'd just like to go back, because this thing about kind of 10 years ago, yes, there, you know, people would say, oh, you know, India is an untrustworthy model. But it's not like China was ever a trustworthy model. You know, it's not like there was more transparency in China than there was in India, or more rule of law in China than there was in India, or more accountability, or any of those things that should allow businesses to thrive. The Chinese government just wanted that stage of development to happen in China so that they could steal the IP and steal the FBI, the foreign direct investment, and be more efficient as a parasite on the global economy. So it was never a good true comparison between what India was and what China is. India is harder, but India is much more like our systems than the Chinese Communist Party ever had as an economy and ever will have. And what we'll see now, I think, is India just assumed the presidency of the G20. And they are going to use their presidency to really showcase how a non-fully Western model and a non-authoritarian, totalitarian model like China can operate. Because they have problems with us also. Jaishankar, the foreign minister, you made a speech recently talking about the tech companies and how the tech companies are not transparent and control over data is a real problem. And as we're seeing coming out of the Twitter files, all that stuff, things are happening that are not beneficial to India. None of the servers are being hosted in India with that Indian data on it. So it's not like our system is pristine either. So they're going to be using this G20 to try to position India in a whole new way for those 20 economies who themselves also don't particularly want that U.S. dominated model or that China dominated model. It's going to be a very interesting year.
Cleo, do they have discussions about a timeline outside? When we'll have the ports, when we'll have the infrastructure, when we'll have the manufacturing base, 5 years, 10 years, anything like that? We have about a minute, Cleo.
Yeah, it's not a communist model. So they don't have the 5-year plans or the 3-year plans. And again, there's a lot of differentiation and different economic focuses. So we'll see things develop in different ways. But I think what really needs to be watched isn't so much the U.S.-India relationship economically, but the Indian relationship with Vietnam or things like that. For example, they're rebuilding the temples in Angkor Wat. Like, these other relationships are this web that Gordon is talking about is being built, and we're not necessarily the center of it.
Cleo Pascal for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about a transformation now underway from China to the world, the web of Eurasian manufacturing and port facility powers. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.